Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our online video picks for this week are up on our website. Every week we choose five videos from the web that we think you may be interested in, and I anchor them in a picks video. This week's picks include two Norman Mailer clips with his recent death, one of them in which he debates Marshall McLuhan about the nature of media in our lives. That's our online video picks. Go to WNYC.org and click on video. And we want to incorporate your video picks. Send us a link to a video you want to share, especially if it's issue-oriented. Email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org and put the word video in the subject line. So you may remember a guest we've had on the show a couple of times this year, Colin Bevin, a.k.a. No Impact Man. Colin made a pledge last November to have absolutely no impact on the environment for one whole year. Well, the year is up. What it meant was he and his wife, toddler, and dog would consume as little as possible. So how does someone who has made that pledge get through the holiday season, the time of year when we put aside our restraint for out-of-control consumption of all kinds? We figured we'd invite Colin Bevin, No Impact Man, to find out and also see what he's up to now that the year is up. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
All right. So what was your actual launch date?
Launch date was November 21st, 2006, and landing date was the same, 2007.
Just so you are, what, 2 days out here?
That's right. We're just coming back into the world as it is, as opposed to the world of no impact.
So is there something you can do today that you couldn't do on Monday?
Well, one thing, if you remember last time I was here with you, I didn't take the elevator. You're on the 25th floor.
I met you in the lobby, and we walked up to the 25th floor together.
That's right. This time, I did take the elevator. On the other hand, I still rode my bike here. So what's happening for us now is it's not like we're giving up everything we've done, but now we're coming back into some sort of a middle ground where we're still keeping some of the adaptations, but I don't have to walk up 25 flights.
So now you're some impact man.
Yes. I hope it will be low impact man. And one of the ways that I think about it is that the project was reduce our negative impact and increase our positive impact in order to have no net impact. So the object is, so what I hope is that as I move forward now, if our negative impact increases a little, then maybe I can increase my positive impact
too.
What
is positive impact?
Well, there's all sorts of things. One thing is that, of course, we haven't been doing this in isolation. I have this blog, noimpactman.com, where I get a huge, I started it as a writer just because I thought, oh, this is a way to break the isolation of writing a book. But all of a sudden, we have a huge readership there. And it turns out that there's this whole discussion going on there about how we as individuals can both reduce our own environmental impact and influence our culture as a whole to have less environmental impact. So that's kind of a positive impact.
So that's like when Al Gore gets asked about flying around on heavy carbon-emitting jets to crusade against global warming?
Well, it takes all kinds. You know, we need Al Gore out there talking to the legislators. And, you know, if he has one meeting in Congress one day and one meeting with the Nobel Peace Prize, people the next day, he has to fly. But it also needs people like the people that come to my blog and people like me who are talking about let's use less.
So what else can you do now that you're engaging in your soft landing? You can ride an elevator, whereas you didn't let yourself do that before. What else is back in?
Movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Movies were out.
Yeah, we had movies out. It was funny because what happened was as we started to move into the project, it became that we started to, well, my wife in particular started to look at things, not just at things that had an impact, but kind of consumer things that we felt we were addicted to and maybe we should just fast on for a while. So movies ended up going out too.
So why weren't movies the entertainment equivalent of mass transit? Because it's not like renting a video for your personal television set. You go with a group of people hundreds of people, in many cases, who all sit in the same room watching, you know, the same film projected on one screen.
It's not all logical, and I think it had mostly to do with the fact that my wife felt that we were addicted to movies, so maybe we should give it a break.
Huh. So what was the first movie? Did you actually go to a movie like last night?
You know, Actually, I did go to a movie last night, and I really wanted to tell you about this because I went to see this movie called What Would Jesus Buy?
Oh, we had the creator, Reverend Billy, on the show on Wednesday.
Yes, great guy, great movie, very funny. And his message is all about, why do we have to buy so much stuff at Christmas? Why can't we actually make Christmas about celebrating the life of a man who thought he wanted to bring peace to the planet?
So here's a guy, you, who spends a whole year without movies, and when you can finally go back into the theater, what do? You see a movie about another guy like you instead of indulging yourself on the B movie or something like that.
It's a sickness.
What was the hardest part about the No Impact year? I mean, people will remember that the thing that kept getting written up in the New York Times and everywhere else was that you weren't using toilet paper.
Right. So the hardest part, I would say that the hardest part was as not having electric lighting in the apartment as the sun started going down at 4:30 in the afternoon. But, you know, one of the things...
How did you light?
I had one solar-powered lamp, and then we used beeswax candles. Beeswax, because beeswax doesn't come from under the earth, so it doesn't cause, you know, emission of more gases.
But is this another thing that you're back to as of Wednesday?
Yes, we have electric lights. Of course, it's all CFL bulbs. Of course, we only have one light on at a time or something like that. You know, similar things like we've turned the refrigerator back on, but we have a freezer too. We're not turning that back on, and we're not reinstalling the air conditioner, things like that. But one thing I want to say to you is that people are fascinated with what's the hardest part. But one of the things that I think that's really important is we have this idea that living environmentally is all about deprivation. But in fact, it's just a change of emphasis. And so much of our consumption, which, you know, consumption of resources, consumption of things, we think makes us happy. But actually, if we can get rid of the resource use and rid of the things, we have more time for building community. And in fact, in many ways, our family was happier this way this year, using less, because we spent more time together. We played charades more.
So is this next stage intended to be permanent?
The next stage, yes. So now what we're looking at, you know, we've had this year of absolutely kind of austerity. And some of the things we found out, as I say, made us happier. Like the fact that instead of watching TV all the time, we spent time together. Some of the things made us less happy, like the fact that it was hard to read at night. So the question is there a balance, a happy balance? Like emphasis on the word happy, right? Is there a happy balance between living a life that's kind to the planet and living a life that's kind to ourselves? And I would say yes. And in fact, that consuming less is a conscious way of moving forwards and even making ourselves happier.
We have about 5 minutes for your phone calls for No Impact Man, Colin Bevan. If there's anything you want to ask him, this is his third time on the program in this year, and now his full deprivation / positive impact year is over, and he's going into something a little less intense. But if you want to ask Colin Bevan anything about this one-year experience, you can do it right now, but only for the next 5 minutes, which is what we got. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Now, if I remember, your wife was a little bit more skeptical about this at the start than you were.
Right.
And there was some trepidation since you have a toddler in the house. Are they, like, totally relieved now?
Well, Isabella, the toddler, as far as she was concerned, it was all great because, you know, we weren't using the elevator. She got to ride my shoulders. She was actually, in some ways, she was like the Zen master on the project because, you know, while we were feeling the loss of, say, a taxi cab, she just loved the fact that we would walk down the block and she could, you know, play with every leaf on the sidewalk instead of just riding around in a taxi cab. Michelle, in some ways, is the person that's learned the most and changed the most from this project. My wife. Because she, you know, she loved her shopping, and now she, you know, it's not that she doesn't want to ever buy anything again, but she has found for herself some sort of in-between, too, where she doesn't feel, you know, she doesn't feel compelled to look good because everybody else thinks, you know, because she cares about what everybody thinks in the same way she did, for example.
So is your holiday shopping this year, now that it's over, going to be different than it was last year?
So, well, holiday shopping, I was thinking about how would I say this. The idea is use less, use better, use kinder. So first of all, can we buy just less? And then use better means can we, you know, like I'm thinking, oh, well, one thing that I would like for us is season tickets to the Philharmonic. Like instead of stuff, why not? I like the idea of let's spend our money to bring communities together, because so much of our stuff has the effect of making us go to our room by ourselves. And that's what even the happiness psychologists tell us, that's what makes us less happy, spending more time by ourselves. So let's do things. If we're going to spend our money, let's use it to go to the theater. Let's use it to go to the music, support the arts, support each other, build community.
Low impact man seeks high impact music. Gary in Highland Falls, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Good morning. I would just like to ask this gentleman what recommendations he would have that we could use to curb our water use for water conservation. Thank you.
Sure. In our house, we have a low-flow shower head that only uses about 1 gallon of water a minute. The average shower head uses 7 gallons of water a minute. And we also have aerators on the taps. And also, it's just a matter, besides for, you know, changing the technology, it's a matter of just using less. So, for example, if you live in a building in New York, instead of washing the sidewalk every morning, sweep the sidewalk. Instead of washing one dish at a time, wait till you have a sink full of dishes and wash them all at once, or use the dishwasher, which actually conserves water. So use less, use better. You know, you just be conscious of how you're using it and then get technology that helps you to use less.
Olivia in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Olivia.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think in a way you're going back to a simpler time, but in another way I think we have to see what our standard is. And there are many people who do what you do in different ways because they have to, because they don't have the means to buy all the stuff that's out there. And I just wanted to say that if, as a society, we're not more careful, we're all going to end up having to do stringent measures because we're forced to. And I think it's better if we do it purposefully and the way you're doing it, rather than in a crisis mode, which I think we are approaching as a society.
And as I say, it's not only that, but the fact of the matter is that if we examine our lives, we may find that using less actually, it's not a deprivation measure, that it actually can make us happier.
Judy on the Upper West Side finds something sexist about this conversation. Judy?
Well, you said it. I think I don't have much more to say about it than that, it's, you know, I fully agree with all the principles, you know, that he's showing us in such an interesting way, but why is it low-impact man? Why not low-impact family? I know he has explained that Michelle, you know, went along with it, perhaps reluctantly, but that it's so much, it's so much his project. When it affects, I've always been very concerned about the toddler, and I'm glad to hear she was well. But anyway, that's
and don't
my
forget
comment.
The dog.
Excuse me.
And don't forget the dog.
And the dog.
Yeah.
Probably the happiest. But just this, I don't know. This, I just get this message, and always had, so I wanted to put that out there, and that's all.
So it's funny. I mentioned the dog Frankie because I call her the nature representative on the project, because she's the one that's like, yeah, save the polar bears and whatnot. But as far as the we are no impact family. There's no question about that. And Michelle and Isabella and Frankie are the most amazing elements of this no impact family.
How does your daughter deal? Maybe she's just not old enough to have an awareness, because she's only 2.5, right? Of what other kids are doing, and she's not.
First of all, we have no TV in the house, and you know, I was only actually in Reverend Billy's movie seeing that kids under 8 can't tell the difference between editorial content and advertising content, so they just think if it says buy, then that's what you're supposed to do. So there's no TV in the house, so that's one thing. But, you know, consumerism is learned, right? It's not – it doesn't come – you know, we weren't like cavemen and we were like, we must go to Target, you know, so we made Target so we could, you know, fulfill our biological destiny. What happened was actually in 1900, it was considered immoral to waste. It was considered immoral to have too much. The whole idea was conserve. That was the right thing. And then slowly as a culture, we learned. So Isabella does not know about consumption. And on her birthday, we took her into this place, Jane's Exchange, which has secondhand children's stuff. And we said, Isabella, you can have anything you want. And it's a big store, right? And she goes and she picks out these golden slippers. And she said, you know, I want these. And they were $1. And that's what she wanted for her birthday.
And that, I guess, is where we leave it with Colin Bevan, a.k.a. No Impact Man or Low Impact Man or Low Impact Co-Head of Household. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
You got two quick tips in 20 seconds for where people could start if they wanted to inch down this road.
Okay, so at Christmas time, buy less, buy services, massages, facials, chances to go to the theater, stuff like things that build community instead of things that take community apart.
Good luck. We'll keep talking. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.